Hello, I'm Sandra Swain from the Daily Astorian, and my guest in the studio today is Astoria Mayor Willis Van Dusen. Welcome, Willis.
Good morning, Sandra. Thank you for inviting me. Well, I appreciate it.
We're certainly glad to have you here because all kinds of things are always going on in Astoria. And I thought since this is probably my last time to be on the radio, it would be nice to reminisce just a little bit about how things have changed since I got here in 1984.
I was just on the city council in 1980. So I've been on the city council for 6 years, and this is my 20th year as the mayor. But boy, we're going to miss you, Sandra. And for the listeners that don't know, Sandra feels it's her time to be a good grandma. And so she's going to move up north in Washington in Olympia.
Yep.
And but Sandra has done an excellent job. She started in radio. And I met her when she worked for New Northwest Broadcasters. And I didn't meet her then, excuse me. That's when we first did our professional work together.
Yeah.
And she's been working with the Daily. When did you start with the Daily Astorian?
It was in December of 2003.
Wow. Well, anyway, yeah. And Sandra does a great job. She covers the city and all the city beat and other projects.
And Warrenton, too.
And Warrenton, too. And any emergency that comes up. And she's done a great job of letting the community know the good and the bad, what's going on with the city, and thank you from the city council and from myself and the community. You've done a great job, Sandra.
Oh, I appreciate that. It's been a lot of fun.
I'm not going to say you're going to be missed because you're going to be down here. You promised me you're going to be down here, but that's great.
Of course.
But what a privilege to be on here for your last show officially. I bet you still do some help.
I'd like to, but
be great.
Yeah. So when we moved here, things were quite a bit different. Really? I don't think the
we trolley didn't have a soccer program, and you started it.
Well,
and
Hal. Hal Snow.
No,
you know what? That's right. I met you, actually. Hal Snow. We went over to your house, and that's when I
right.
met you.
That's right. With Jim Flint.
Right.
And Jim Flint.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And you were the driving force. So it was great. And another Coast Guard addition to the community. Sandra and her husband were very involved in the United States Coast Guard, and that's what brought him here.
He was the Coast Guard doctor out there, the flight surgeon.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, soccer did kind of get me involved in the community. But as I recall, there was no trolley then, I don't think, was there?
Oh, no. There was the trolley. It was built in 1913, but we didn't get it operating here until 11 years ago.
Oh.
And so, but that's great. 11 years we've had that volunteer trolley operating, and it is such an important part of Astoria. It's the pride of Astoria, 100% volunteer, and financially we're doing well. I got one quick story to tell you. I am the president of the Astoria Riverfront Trolley Association, and our reserves were dwindling, and we only charge $1, as you may know, and your listeners may know, but may not know.
11 years and still just
$1. $1. So I said, we're going to have to raise this to $2. And I got the board to back me up, and boy, did I run into a brick wall. The volunteer says, no, with this economy and with young couples with four or five kids, you know, $1 is fine. And so I said, no, we're going to raise it to $2. Well, after long discussions, we did a one-year test. And I said, okay, I'll agree and the board will agree. Leave it at $1. And they came up with the benchmark. How about if we have $25,000 left after all expenses as a savings account? I said, if you can do that, no problem. Well, when the year concluded, I showed up with a sign that just said, I was wrong. In the bank was $34,000.
Oh, that is amazing.
And so the volunteers did it all. And so it's great. It's a great trolley. It's a great bargain. And so I'm lucky to be part of it. And everyone in town is part of it.
I actually drove the trolley for a while. I was
yes,
a motorman.
Yes, you were
motorman.
And yes. A very good motorman.
I knew.
An excellent motorman.
I stayed
motorman.
On track.
There's a camera on there now. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
It's for safety reasons. There's a camera on front of the generator and a big TV screen.
Oh.
So the motorman can see now exactly what's in front of him.
Oh,
because,
that's a good idea.
As you know, at times it was a little difficult to see.
Mm. And now, when I first heard this, I laughed because I heard that there's a GPS system on there. And I thought, you mean like if the trolley driver decides to take a shortcut and they get lost? You know, they're going on a track. They're just straight.
You and I think the same. I kind of giggled at first. Well, where can it go? The trolley's now in Jewel. But it really helps the chamber because you
does.
Can now call the Chamber of Commerce at 503-325-6311 and say, my guests or my kids and I, or I just want to go for a trolley ride, where is it? And boom, they can tell you what street it's on right now and where it might be in 10 minutes. So it's helped a lot.
Because I guess, especially when cruise ships are here, there's a high volume of passengers. The motormen have told me that it takes so much longer than to make the round trip that it really would take quite a while if you didn't know sometimes where to go stand to get it.
We try to keep on a pretty good schedule, but they're volunteers, and if you're having 30 or 40 passengers, it doesn't take as long when you have 80. and then the tourists on the cruise ships like to stop different locations that maybe the locals don't. So the GPS system is great.
Car parked on the track?
Yes, a car or a pickup. Or, the worst one was, I hope Nick's listening, Nick Zafiratis, a famous Astoria attorney, was driving the trolley as a motorman, and there was a tour bus that dropped down the tailgate for the handicapped wheelchairs right over the track, and Nick couldn't avoid stopping and bumped it,
It
moved the bus, and that was a heck of a mess. But finally it was determined that Nick was not at fault, the trolley was not at fault, the bus had no. Of course, when an accident happens, many times everyone points fingers at who was at fault, but it was not Nick Zafiratis, and the trolley didn't have to pay for the tailgate.
Well, you can't stop on a dime with that thing. Was it weigh 40,000 pounds or something?
Yes, right. No, you can't. And you don't want to either. You don't throw people around.
Now, if someone would like to volunteer for the trolley, I know they're looking for volunteers. Can they still call the chamber for that?
Please call the chamber. We need volunteers. It's 100% volunteers, and you can learn to be a conductor if you'd like. Then you don't have to operate the trolley.
You don't get to operate.
You don't get to, but... it is so much fun. People who ride the trolley have fun. The volunteers have fun. And then we all have fun just watching it go by and hearing the bell.
Hearing the bell. By the way, that voice that you heard off stage, that is our engineer, Terry Wilson, who's always here to keep us, actually on the air. So moving from the...
Terry, thank you for all you do. Not just here at KMUN. Terry is all over the community helping with broadcasts and... volunteers. He's a ham operator, and he's a ham on top of that.
I was just going to say the same thing.
But anyway, thank you. It's a good chance for me to thank you for all your work.
So you are listening to After Deadline on Coast Community Radio. I'm Sandra Swain from the Daily Astorian, and our guest today is Astoria's Mayor Willis Van Dusen. Well, what should we move on to next?
Let me jump in if I can, Sandra, and make a suggestion about the change in the medical community with this oncology.
Oh, yes.
And you and I have talked a lot about this, and we could spend an hour talking about it. I don't want to do that. But the Columbia Memorial Hospital, in partnership with Dr. Sunny Park and the Park Medical Building, and OHSU, the premier medical facility in the Northwest, are now in partnership to bring a cancer treatment center to Astoria. Oncology, which is unfortunately needed. And we will be an arm of OHSU. And for a community our size, we will be the number one medical community on the Oregon or Washington coast. And it's a tremendous teamwork effort, and it's great news.
It's wonderful, too, because I think there was always at least a perceived rivalry between Columbia Memorial Hospital and Dr. Park. And here, in fact, they're actually cooperating for the betterment of the whole community.
They're absolutely cooperating. And Sandra, you are very professional. It might have been more than perceived. But, I mean, that's what happens. There's only the pie is only so big, and you have two big facilities there. And there were some competing medical offerings, the MRIs and the different urgent care centers. But this is very cooperative, and they need to work together. The city is going to be a very small partner, but all of us in the Astoria and the Pacific County area should be very proud of the fact of our medical community and what we're going to be doing as a team.
Well, kind of staying over there in that same neighborhood, I think there's been some talk about what to do with John Warren Field in the future, because it doesn't really have that many football games played on. It's a wonderful facility and a great location.
There's been a lot of discussion, and some of it's very exciting. And John Warren Field is owned by the city of Astoria, but run by the school district, and all of the listeners own both anyway. There should be no difference between the school district and the city. But there has been some talk about taking down those fences and just visually that would send a signal out, this is public property, let's go enjoy it, we own it. And putting an all-weather surface on that John Warren Field. So, and I'm not making this up, it is very possible. In one day, you could have a softball game, a soccer game, and a football game on that facility and practice, and it would be used far more. And the facility is used more than just the six or seven home games. They do practice there. But this would be used year-round for girls' softball and for men's adult softball and for soccer and, of course, football and just recreation. So we don't know if it can come together. There's a tremendous partnership between the school district and the city of Astoria. Long before I got involved, the Astoria School District and the city of Astoria have the best relationship of any city school district in the state. We share ball fields. The city has Parks and Recreation, Summer League or City League in the gyms. That's really unheard of some places. And the city of Astoria owns Tapiola Field, where the high school plays baseball. And like I said earlier, and Sandra's always been the big advocate of this, if it's publicly owned, it should be publicly owned, and it's corny or crazy or both corny and crazy for the school and the city not to work together because we own them all.
I hope that you're able to preserve the stomper picture somehow that's on the outside of that field.
Maybe, I love the stomper.
You have to just make a big frame for it or something, stand it somewhere if you take that down.
And if the listeners are not aware of the stomper, there was a basketball coach named Pete Bryant. And Pete Bryant was a big, burly guy. Looks like Steve Roman, if the listeners know what Steve Roman looks like. And he'd stomp his foot during the basketball game when he got angry. And so there is a commercial fisherman logo cartoon character named the Stomper. And the Stomper is on the wall at John Warren Field. He's on the wall in the basketball court at Astoria High School. And we got to preserve the Stomper. That's part of our history.
Well, the Astoria Fighting Fishermen.
The Fighting Fishermen.
Yeah.
That's right, yes.
And the rest of that block, I think the city is acquiring some property on there too. So, you know, what's the future?
Well, the future is very bright. Those of us that live here, there's no better place to live, and now's the time to live here in Astoria. But if you can just vision that area, the Aquatic Center now has done a 180-degree turnaround. And I was the mayor, and I was on the city council when the Aquatic Center was losing money every year. So I would be less ingenuous or if I said, boy, I've sure done a great job, because I was there when things weren't going well. But things have turned around. So if you can picture that 3 or 4 block area with an aquatic center, with a beautiful movie theater, and with those fences down, and year-round use of John Warren Field, and there has been an apartment house that the city bought to acquire the land in case there's an expansion. Now, the school district on the corner used to have the bus barns. They're gone now. They're out of there. They're out near Jeffers Garden in the former Big River construction building. And so there is a lot of potential there. And I don't think we should be in a hurry, but there's a lot of potential down there.
And also the Seafood Consumer Center, too, is right in the same vicinity, and they might be kind of, I know people are working to get that thing back open more. And
the National Seafood Consumer Center.
Right.
The Duncan Law. It's the only
Duncan
one
Law
in the country, which shows people how you prepare seafood. Many of us in this area know how to cook seafood. My wife, Jan, she's a very good cook. But nationwide, a lot of people are afraid to pick up fresh seafood and bring it home and cook it. And this teaches cooks to teach people how to cook. So it's a real nice facility. And it's named after Dr. Duncan Law, a native Astorian. And he was very instrumental in helping Oregon State University with the lab. And I'm very proud of the lab. And for those who followed it closely, we had some bad news. We had to close for a while. And now the good news is they've partnered with the hospital again. And so it's going to open back up and be back where it should be.
Right. And speaking of Dr. Duncan Law, we could segue into what used to be called the Chinese Heritage Park Project. And now, let me look, it's called the Garden of Surging Waves. How is that coming along?
It's coming along very well. And thank you for bringing that up, Sandra, because that's very close to my heart. When we were looking to build the Seafood Consumer Center, named after Duncan Law, the board was going to meet at the Columbia River Maritime Museum. And Duncan said, I really don't want to meet there. The museum is about the history of the Columbia River, and there's not one mention of the Chinese contribution to the Columbia River. And the Chinese brought the railroad to Astoria. They built the jetties at the mouth of the Columbia River. The coolies, which I have learned is a term just used for a hard-laboring Chinese individual. I didn't know if it was not politically correct.
Yeah, but, I didn't know that either.
Yeah,
I'm glad to know that it's
coolies is, yeah. Coolies was a laborer, and the coolies worked in the processing plants, did all the work in the canneries. The coolies built the river wall that keeps the Columbia River from downtown Astoria, put in the entire sewer system for Astoria. Back-breaking work. And the Columbia River would not be what it is today without the Chinese contribution. And for whatever reason, they weren't mentioned. Over 20% of Astoria was Chinese.
And right in that vicinity where that park
right
was planned.
Where the Transit Mall is now, and that's on 9th Street, right on the river, is where it's going to be. And it's going to help tell the story of the Chinese contribution. And Duncan Law is very excited about it, and so is the community. And by the way, to be fair, the Columbia River Maritime Museum, they have changed that philosophy, and now they do talk about the Chinese contribution. But we need a spot right on the river, right in the middle of what I would call Astoria's Chinatown at that time. And all of us learned a lot. Lori Lum, who's Dave and Shirley Lum's daughter with Lum's Auto, born and raised in Astoria, so was her parents. She has learned so much about the Chinese contribution, and you would think that an Astorian Chinese native would know more than she did. And so it's great. I'm looking forward to it.
Right, and it's still a project underway, and they're looking for
project underway. There's a lot of artwork that has been donated, and the artwork is done in bronze. It's done in China. It's in shipment. It's going to be on display at the former John England, not John England, England Marine, where we had the goon docks. And so it's going to be wonderful, Sandra.
Yeah. Well, great. Well, that's just one of so many things that are going on. I suppose we could turn to the City Hall remodel, the Safeway American Legion block. What would you like to tackle next?
Well, let's do them both quickly, because I know we got a lot to talk about. the Astoria City Hall. What a beautiful historic building, and it was built to be a bank. But to be very simple and quick, I think it has been designed upside down. In other words, the city employees that have a lot of walk-in traffic are on the third floor, the planning department, the engineering department, when you need a building permit. And the main floor is the finance department, who send out the bills and everything, but they don't have, people don't come in and need to sit down and look at blueprints or whatever. And the way the front door is, you walk through the front door. If you want to talk to an individual other than finance, you got to go back outside, and a lot of times it rains here, walk down the street toward the Elks and in the side door. And the remodel will restore a beautiful historic building, but it'll put all of those services on the main floor, so we actually will have a front door. You walk to the front door, engineering, planning department, community development, the city manager, and then there'll be a stairway. They're going to cut a big wide hole, so it'll be look real roomy, and go upstairs to the city council chambers. And it's long overdue, and we're working on it, and it's a city goal, and so we're going to do it.
And it's a beautiful front entrance. I mean, that entrance is really obviously supposed to be the main entrance.
That is the main big pillars, and it says, it's a bank building, but it they don't build buildings like that anymore.
No.
And I'm proud to say we have taken care of the building. It's structurally very sound. It's just upside down. I don't know how that ever got started. It's almost like, you got to go clear to the third floor on very narrow steps, and we're going to make City Hall for a reasonable price. I think it's going to be under $2 million, which I'm not saying that's not chump change. That's a lot of money. But to have a beautiful, historic, and very customer-friendly City Hall, I'm very proud of this project.
Right. Well, you're listening to After Deadline on Coast Community Radio. I'm Sandra Swain from the Daily Astorian, and our guest today is Astoria Mayor Willis Van Dusen, as we, I guess, could move on and talk about the old Safeway block, the American Legion block across from City Hall.
I'm trying to word this carefully because I love Astorians, but boy, we're impatient. When Safeway moved up to their new location, the city really did a lot of work and got some grants and acquired that lot, that entire block, except for the American Legion building. And I thought that was a great move, and then we can control it. But now people want us to do something with it, and it's their town, their city, and their block, so we're going to. I'm only speaking for myself. I'm one of five members of the city council. We have Blair Henningsgaard and Arlene Lemire and Russ Warr and Peter Roscoe, and we're a five-person team. But just for this conversation, what I would like to see is to find a different home for the American Legion, a good home for the Legion. Those Legionnaires risked their lives. They, they supported our country, and they need a better facility. And then tear down that old building, and then build a library there. And the reason I say library is two reasons. One is we have $1 million that was donated to the city, and we can only use that to build a new library. And we could build a library on that block and possibly move the American Legion to the former library building, which, by the way, the Legion paid for about half of that building to start with to help the city. And have the new library with some apartments or condominiums on top of it, and that rent could pay to help fund the library and have open space down there. And it's the center of town. It's Portland always refers to their Pioneer Square as their living room. Well, that's our living room.
That's true.
And so it's a lot of money. It's a lot of dreaming, but that's my vision. And Commissioner Arlene Lemire, she really pushes hard for that. She was big experience in libraries and the and Seaside. You know, we have to learn from our neighbors. They're doing excellent with their new library. So that's what I'd like to see. I don't know if we have the money, and I'm only speaking for one member of the city council, but that's what I'd like to see at the former Safeway American Legion block.
Well, one thing I'd like to see us learn from our neighbors across the river is to have a library system that is like countywide and connects up with all the other library systems, because it really seems unfortunate in this day and age that each of our libraries is standalone. But maybe with a new library facility, we could get
Sandra,
that going.
I agree with you. And again, Sandra and I have been working together for a long time. We've talked about that before, with the 911 centers, too. There's three 911 centers in Clatsop County, and it's only 35,000 people. That's a very small neighborhood in Portland. You think they'd have three 911 centers and libraries? Why do we have so many libraries? And I don't want to offend any of my good friends in the educational business, but for a county of 35,000 people, we have five school districts.
And the fire departments.
And
the fire,
have five superintendents. So anyway, we got to work together, but we're on our way. Yeah. We're making progress. And but I agree with you. The library would be a great one.
And I know that you're not the only one, you and Arlene, because when we had, I don't know how many of those sessions where people, planning firms, consultants were called in and had a lot of meetings about what to do with that square. There were
We had many public meetings with a lot of participation. That's one thing about Astoria. People care what you do.
Oh, well, they sure do.
They care. and I don't take it personally if we do things that they don't understand, because it's their town. They let you know. And if you do anything at the Astoria Column, you better be ready. Or anything with the riverfront. And that's the way I like it.
Right.
And I do not take that personally. I don't take it if someone is critical or not happy with what we're doing. That's good. That's why we have a good team. And we're doing pretty well as a team.
Well, that riverfront, we have the Riverwalk, and I think we should probably say something nice about Paul Benoit, our city manager, because back when he was the community development director, I know he was one of the people on the team that spearheaded getting that going in the Rails to Trails. And
absolutely.
We've got
the Burlington Northern used to have freight trains that would come into Astoria. They'd go clear to the port and get flour, basically. They went to the plywood mill and did some other work. When they left, we could have lost that right away. And it was a team effort, but our city manager, Paul Benoit, at that time he was community development director, was a team captain to acquire that right away through Rails to Trails. And now we have a great river walk, and it's not quaint. It's a rough, tough river out there, and it's the way it should look. And there are some big pilings and rocks out there, but it is great.
And in the remaining few minutes we have, let's talk a little bit about the Riverfront Vision Plan. I know I don't know if you could say really completed, but I guess it is. But what are we going to do with it now?
The way I was taught to describe this is to compare it to when you're driving a car. When you're driving a car and you head into a fog bank, and if you don't know where you're going, the reaction is fear and then to hit the brakes. We as a community didn't have a blueprint or a map on where we were going, and there were at one time 19 condo projects that were on the books, and people didn't know where we were going, and they saw fear and they hit the brakes. We don't want to do anything. And so we spent about a year and a half and did a riverfront visioning plan led by City Commissioner Blair Henningsgaard with many meetings to lay out the fact where we would allow buildings, where we would not allow buildings, where public space was in control already. A lot of the Riverwalk is publicly owned today. And that kind of lifted the fog. And the fear that we're going to lose our riverfront has been alleviated. Now, not everyone liked the plan, and that's the way it goes. You're not going to have 10,000 people that love this town agree with one plan. But we were awarded a national award, and Commissioner Henningsgaard and Brett Estes went back to Washington, D.C. and got the award for the best community involvement in a visioning program, and not even for Riverfront. And so we did it. We did a good job, and again, we're a team effort, but Blair was a team captain on that one.
If it hadn't been for the recession, and I'm sure no one's happy that we're in a recession, but that certainly did help in a sense, because nothing really, most of those developers had to put their projects on hold while this was going on.
We've had a lot of help from things, and the recession's one, I agree, but also the Columbia River. I always use that example. If the Columbia River was a valley, just a big open valley, I can't imagine how Astoria would look. I think we'd have every box store that ever lived out there. I mean, one of the reasons we don't have a Walmart in Astoria or a Target or a Kmart is there's no place to put it.
Yeah.
And so we were very fortunate to kind of protect us. We have the river and Young's Bay. And it's like a castle surrounded by a moat. And no one can get in there and ruin it for us, no matter how bad the mayor is.
Tell me, I remember you've told this story before about about the garbage dump that was once planned for the riverfront.
Well, the reason I got involved in local politics is the same reason many local politicians do. I was mad at City Hall. Those were idiots over there, and I could do a better job because we closed the garbage dump and they wanted to put the transfer station right next to the business my brother and I own, which is Soda Pop, and we didn't want it there, and so we formed a group called RATS, Residents Against the Transfer Station, and we had big lapels, buttons with a big rat on there, and that's why I got started. I can see Terry's thinking, how much time we got, Terry?
30 seconds.
So anyway, that's how I got started in local politics, and I'm glad we don't have the garbage transfer station next to the Riverwalk.
Yeah, it would have been right there.
It would have been right at 29th Street and the Columbia River.
All right.
But that was stopped before I got on the council, but I'll take credit for it.
Well, on that strange note,
yes, <right. laughs>
you've been listening to After Deadline on Coast Community Radio.
Thank you, Sandra. We're going to miss you.
Well, thanks. I'm going to miss you.
You're fun and you're a real professional. Thank you. Thank you, Terry.
And that's it. Our mayor, Astoria Mayor Willis Van Dusen.